This week, the German tabloid Bild published pictures of Kate Middleton's bare bottom, exposed when her skirt flew up during a recent trip to Australia. The British tabloid press was offered the pictures, but dutifully refused them and denounced the German paper. The bottom-feeding Daily Mail went so far as to call it a breach of privacy. Could this mean that British tabloids have seen the errors of their own ways since the infamous News of the World scandal and subsequent Leveson inquiry into press ethics? No. Alongside the story slamming Bild's distasteful publication of Middleton's rear, the Daily Mail Online featured such gems as Toni Braxton narrowly avoids wardrobe malfunction exiting her SUV for dinner at Mr. Chow, and Making It Rain, moment X-Men director Bryan Singer threw hundreds of dollars at male strippers for lap dances at a Hollywood gay bar, complete with pictures. The immutable lowbrowness of the British tabloids is the subject of a new film, One Rogue Reporter, premiering next month at the Sheffield Documentary Festival. Its star and creator Rich Pepiat knows something of which he speaks.
Indeed. I used to be one of those shameless tabloid hacks. I resigned quite publicly 3.5 years ago and leaked my resignation letter to the Guardian newspaper, sort of decrying some of the ethical practices of my paper I was working at, the Daily Star.
Early on in the film, you establish your bona fides as a practitioner of the dark tabloid arts.
When I landed a job at the Daily Star, one of Britain's biggest selling newspapers, what I didn't imagine myself doing would be dressing up as Santa and getting drunk with strippers, or dressing up as a transvestite stripper. I'd like to say that was the bottom of my particular journalistic barrel, but here's me dressed in a burqa. Yep, a burqa.
I had many opportunities I could have left. I wrote a lot of things I regretted. And I do question my own morality. Why did you allow yourself to get involved in this? And why didn't you earlier on say no? There is a degree of this film being me working through that.
The film shows some excerpts of your own testimony before the Leveson inquiry into tabloid ethics, sort of a combination of accusation and confessional.
I resigned before the phone hacking scandal kicked off. And then when tabloid ethics became front page news and it became a big debate in Britain, I guess I got sucked back into it and I became involved in campaigning for press reform in Britain. The turning point is when I went to a seminar that was put on by the Leveson Inquiry. All the top people in Fleet Street, all the top reporters and executives were all invited, and I was asked to give a presentation, and I went for the jugular, and let's just say it wasn't very well received. In the film, that's the moment that I went, right, okay, well, if I can't get through, if people aren't going to listen in a serious manner, then I'm going to attempt to do it in a satirical manner, turning the tables on tabloid editors and executives, using the tricks and techniques that they taught me against them to see how they like it.
This movie covers the whole landscape of tabloid trickery and moral bankruptcy. Can you give me some examples of what One Rogue Reporter focuses on?
You mentioned the Mail Online. One of the people that we stunt is the editor of the Mail Online, Martin Clark. We hire a paparazzi to follow him around and take pictures of him, and I ask him some sort of sidebar of shame Mail Online questions that seem to populate that website.
Have you got any gossip for us? Do you on diet or anything? Or are you detoxing?
Who the hell are you?
Who the hell am I?
Yeah.
I'm just doing my job, mate. Just taking a few pics. I saw a nipple slip with Kim Kardashian earlier.
Yeah,
brilliant.
True.
I'll send it in. I'll send it across.
Funny. Seriously, who are you?
Doing my job, mate. Just doing my job. You know, taking a few pics.
You wouldn't believe some of the high horses you hear people like Martin Clark get on when they are defending what they call the right of journalism in this country and its proud traditions. It's amazing that the Daily Mail in Britain accused the Guardian of being traitors for printing the Snowden leaks and said that wasn't journalism, that was just irresponsible. Yet they will defend their right to print upskirt shots and nipple slips as if that is journalism. The people at the top of the tabloid industry in Britain don't have any interest in journalism. They're killing journalism.
One of the most stunning episodes in the film is an interview with the former editor of The Sun, Kelvin McKenzie.
Kelvin McKenzie's very famous as being probably the most disliked journalist in the country. He can't even enter the city of Liverpool because of things he wrote about the Hillsborough disaster, a football stadium disaster here 20 years ago. I think the gloves are very much off with anything that you can get on Kelvin McKenzie.
I don't know how you pulled this off, but you are asking him a series of what seem to be hypothetical questions about his publishing standards.
A famous sports star is caught canoodling with a woman who's not his girlfriend in a nightclub. Would you publish or not publish?
I'll publish.
You discover a politician has had an affair with his secretary a day after he's announced he's divorced. Publish or don't publish?
Oh, publish. Oh, dear, oh, dear. You couldn't get a big enough paper.
That one's pretty...
Game, set and match. There will be readers and editors all going, yes! Yes!
And a third one. You have proof a TV personality is exchanging saucy text messages with a woman who is not his wife. Run the story or don't run the story?
Run the story, depending on what the text messages basically said.
The first two are almost teeing it up. The final scenario is his own scenario of his own life, of which I then start reading out his own text messages to a woman who's not his wife.
In this next bit of tape, we hear text alerts as actual messages previously written by McKenzie himself flash on the screen.
You know, he's indicating that he used to be into rubber. Oh, fetishes.
Fantastic.
Fantastic stuff, eh?
Shocking.
If you bring a tape along next Tuesday, I'll let you measure it.
If the text says that... Well, it depends what the it we're referring to.
I think a penis, probably.
I would say that he was pretty much done for.
Pretty much done for.
Yeah.
I lured him into the interview under the guise that I was from a Canadian production company making a documentary about kiss and tell stories. And he fleed once he eventually clocked that this is not about any old kiss and tell. This is about his own.
I got to ask you, the text messages that are at the heart of this gag, how did you get them?
All I'm going to say is a journalist has to protect his sources, and I'm pleading the fifth. Is that what you'd say?
Well, was it like the phone hacking, though, where laws were broken?
No, it was completely above board. You know, the thing about phone hacking is phone hacking was lazy journalism. I don't think there's anything that was achieved by phone hacking that couldn't have been done with a bit more effort in a legitimate way. And that was really what phone hacking was about. No, we're very proud of that stunt because it took a lot of effort.
He was not your only victim. Tell me some of the stunts involving other of the lions of Fleet Street.
One of my favourites is against a guy called Neville Thelbeck, who is or was the chief reporter of the News of the World tabloid, which shut down in the phone hacking scandal. And Neville's actually pled guilty to phone hacking. He wrote a story for the News of the World speaking about how he'd uncovered this seedy masseuse.
Undercover journalism, huh?
It sort of sums up some of the problems with that sort of journalism. Is this was a couple who ran a naturist B&B, sort of minding their own business. He went in there, wrote this big story in a national newspaper about the fact they gave nude massages and they were swingers. Is it really minding their own business in their own house a topic that should be troubling journalism? Is it just for titillation? And because of that story, they had to shut down their guest house, they lost their business. We managed to get a video of Neville Thelbeck in a massage parlour getting a naked massage with a rather happy ending.
Now, in the end, this is not just a prank film. There's a point to it. What's the point?
It's about exposing the hypocrisy of the people who decide what you read in your newspaper every day and want you to allow them to be the arbiters of morality and the arbiters of what is news, and showing that these people aren't fit to run a bath, let alone a newspaper. So often they're able to print things in their newspapers and never have to account for those things. Yes, it is puerile at times, but I like to think that by the end there is a serious point that comes through.
Rich, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Former tabloid reporter Rich Pepiat's new film is called One Rogue Reporter. You can learn more about it at onerogereporter.com.